Good morning, we're doing the Avat Chesed. We're up to the concluding chapter, the eighth chapter. Od yesh b'inyanei ha-chesed sh'tlui b'dibur kama dvarim. We're talking about acts of kindness that involve speech. There are a few more points. Hainu l'itpalel l'chole sh'irapeu Hashem. One aspect of kindness is praying over someone who's ill, praying that Hashem cure him. And in Shulchan Aruch, actually, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that one has not fulfilled his obligation of bikur cholim. If one does not pray for the sick, visiting the sick involves praying on their behalf. And we say that when someone is ill to the point where they're bedridden, so then Hashem yisadenu al eres devai. The verse in Tehillim, Hashem supports him when he's lying on his deathbed. From here the Gemara derives that when a person is lying ill, the Shechina is with him. Hashem's presence is with him. So praying in his presence is like praying in shul, or maybe even better. So part of the kindness that we can do in our speech is praying for someone who is ill. Shezeu akol bichlal bikur cholim. That's part of the mitzvah of bikur cholim, dugmilut chasadim, which is part of gemilus chasadim, as the Talmud tells us in Tractate Nedarim, as the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Yoredeya. And we discussed this in the earlier chapter, chapter 3, which focused on the laws of bikur cholim. Vehu adin tzar acher sheyesh l'adam shu b'toch tzara umtzuka. The same is true for a different area where a person is afflicted, that we can pray that things go better for them. We can pray that someone finds a shidduch. We can pray that someone finds parnasa. And sometimes that person doesn't even know you're davening on their behalf. We find that Avraham was praying on behalf of the Sodomites, that they shouldn't be overturned. They didn't even know that they were in danger, and Avram was praying on their behalf. Yet that's part of chesed. So Avram was praying on behalf of non-Jewish people, praying that they should be okay. V'chol sheken al Yisrael, how much more so do we have an obligation to pray on behalf of someone else? I would add a point that the Gemara in Brachos tells us, that if someone is cognizant of a fellow man, a friend of his, who is in need of something, and he does not pray on his behalf, the Gemara says that is called a rasha, a wicked person. The Gemara is very forceful in our responsibility to pray on behalf of our fellow men. Whoever takes note of the first 8 chapters of the book, or these last 32 chapters, yireh shemidat ha-chesed pusar kol inyanei ha-tova shebaolam. You'll notice that kindness envelops all types of good in the world. And part of the goal of this work, the Chafetz Chaim actually came to illustrate how every person can apply the trait of kindness in everything a person does. And sometimes we can even do it in easy things, to the point where it almost costs us nothing to benefit someone else. And how pitiful it is that added to our other sins, we take this mitzvah lightly. It's so easy to do kindness with our fellow men. Yes?
What constitutes the proper or appropriate or bare minimum prayer on behalf of someone else? Say you have a friend whose father is sick, or say you have, and he's down about it, or who's saying, "I'm so lonely, he needs shidduch or something." Can you say, "Can you ratzon she'elo shidduch ve'yele tova," and then just put it from your mind, or do you have to really put true kavanah in? What constitutes what you can do? Because it's very easy for people to say, "It's not my problem, you know. I hope it goes well for him, but it's not my problem. I have more things on my in my life or on my plate, and I want the best for my friends, but I'm not so much to where I'm gonna go to the Beit Knesset. I'm gonna really dive in. I'm gonna really do that."
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Imagine that your father was the head of the cardiology ward, and you had a friend who had a medical issue that involved his heart. Would you feel that it was fair to say, you know, I'll tell my father if he bumps into you in the ward, he should say hi? Or would you say, if I really care, then I'll tell my father who you are, and I'll take down your information, and I'll fill him in so that he can really be at your side. Obviously, we'd expect, as a real friend, you'd do a little more. So I don't know if you have to stop your life and go to Beis Medrash and open the Tehillim and start praying for every person, every friend you hear has an issue. But you are talking to Ribbono Shel Olam three times a day. So I think it is our responsibility to invoke a meaningful prayer on behalf of our friends. I don't think it's nice to just say, oh, Yei Ratzon should be okay, and move on and forget about the other guy's troubles. When Chazal said we should pray on behalf of our fellow man, they meant a real prayer. It doesn't mean you have to pour tears three times a day for his sorrow, but to pray on his behalf, why not? It doesn't cost us a lot of money. I recommend that you tape into the inside of your siddur a piece of paper on which you can write a list of who you're davening for, what you're davening for. I say tape in a piece of paper because I assume you'll be using the siddur much longer than people will have tzaros. So you'll have to change that piece of paper. Otherwise, you could write it inside the inner jacket. But our hope is that the people you pray for will get cured. So the names will change.
Isn't it though that even if you do it with Kavanah, I mean, didn't Moshe just with Moshe?
You see, Moshe davened Kiel Norefon no lo, but he got an answer. Right? So maybe that's why he stopped there. We learn it from a verse that King David says, and when David HaMelech said, he says he was a good friend. He says his friends turned on him. And he says, but I was a good friend. Vani v'chalotam. But I, when they were ill, levushi sak, I wore sackcloth. Ineiti v'tzom nafshi, I afflicted my soul in fasting. So you see, he really invested over them. So I'm not saying you guys should fast or weep, but at least make it a meaningful prayer. V'amarti divinyanenu sheyach mashevi b'sefer lev David b'shem drash agadah. And he says, the Chafetz Chaim says, in this regard, what's applicable is what the Lev David, the work called Lev David, quotes in the name of the Medrash. Eliyahu of blessed memory was walking with Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, and as they were walking, Eliyahu shows Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi a big street. And there was a big crowd standing over a sale, some kind of transaction going on in a store. And everyone was pushing to get ahead in the sale to catch the first deal. You guys probably heard about this. They have this in the United States. What's it called? Black Friday. Yeah, people get up midnight. They stand online. So that's what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that's what he was witnessing with Elio. There's this huge crowd. Everyone's fighting to get in on the deals. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi approaches the crowd with Elio of blessed memory. And even though everyone was pushing back and forth, they could see inside what's everyone fighting over. Inside the store, they're selling the meat of dog. And it's gone bad. And the weight of a litra was being sold for a dinar. And that wasn't such a great price. Even so, people were grabbing it off the shelves, shoving it in the face of the seller, trying to buy it. Everyone wanted to get the first piece. So they continued traveling, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Eliyahu. And they come across another street. And that street's empty. And there was one store, Mocheret Besar Egel Bari V'Shamen. And that store was selling delicious meat, young calf's meat, fat, beautiful meat. Umocheret Litra B'Pruta. And they were selling the same volume of good, delicious meat for a much cheaper price, for a pruta. Ve'en koneh. And there were no buyers. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi couldn't understand what was going on. So Eliyahu of blessed memory explained to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, "Al titma lachefetz." You can't wonder what drives people. People have different desires. That store where you saw they were selling rotten meat, that was a mashal for you to understand. It was an allegory. People run after sin. People are willing to spend a lot of money and work very hard to attain things that are really damaging to their soul. And in truth, sin is kechelev mit saruach. It's like a dead dog that's gone rotten. That's what the sin is like. And Torah and mitzvos are kebasar bari v'shamenu v'zol. It's like healthy meat, fat meat, that's there for cheap. Ve'en koneh. But there are no buyers. Ken amalti bazeh. The Chafetz Chaim says that allegory, I think, is so applicable here. Nifamin nakel ha'adam u'matok lo. Lo'otzi al inyanei ha'avalim asher ha'yetzer ha mesarser lo. Sometimes it's so easy and sweet for a person to spend his money over frivolities, passing fleeting things that just are really being brought to us by an improper inclination. Sometimes you just want to show the other guy you're on top. Sometimes you just want everyone to see how great you are. And people are willing to spend a lot of money for that. They want to drive a fancier car. They want to wear fancier clothing. Sometimes people are willing to spend so much money to have such honor. People are willing to work so hard that other people should look up to them and say, wow. And all this will really add nothing good to man. In truth, he benefits nothing in this world or in the world to come. And in truth, what man is pursuing isn't a better deal than those who pursue rotten dog's meat. But when it comes to kindness, that our good desire is trying to do the deal. He's trying to broker the deal. And he calls out to us and says, come my way. Come buy some of mine. Mischar kasher. Mine is a kosher transaction. Asher boreinu ochez gamken b'mischar hazeh. You see, it's such a good deal, even God gets in a piece of action. God also does kindness. The verse says, "Ki chafetz chesed hu." God desires kindness. V'yishuro shel adam hatzachato b'olam zeh v'olam haba. You want to know what it means to succeed in this world and the world to come? It's about the kindness. How much one has accomplished in kindness in this world. Uknu to b'damim mu'atim u'v'ticha kala. It's so easy to buy it. It doesn't involve so much effort. V'en poneh b'avonoteinu harabim lefi yerach ha'mischar hatov hazeh. And if you think about how valuable this is and how few people pursue it, it's as though there are no buyers. V'asiba lechol zeh, and the reasoning behind all of this, sh'ayetzer ino maniach l'adam nitbonen begodel midat ha'chesed. Our desire blinds us. And so we don't recognize the value of what we're doing. V'rov tuvon, how good it is. And here this is an open rebuke to our generation. Because if there's one area that we have to do tshuva on, it's about looking at the positive we do and recognizing that we've done positive. We're so hard on ourselves that even when we do what's right, we fail to see the value of what we've done. Ah, what's right goes by the wayside. When we do something wrong, we're so hard on ourselves. The Chafetz Chaim says, why is it that we don't have the drive to pursue kindness? It's because the Yetzer doesn't allow us to see the value of the good that we accomplish. That's why it's so difficult when people are so hard on themselves, especially in the tshuva process. People have accomplished so much, and yet they think that because they're not as good as so-and-so, or because they're not perfect, I only davened 6 out of 7 times this week. So a person says, I'm a terrible person. Who said? You accomplished 6 out of 7 times. And we don't like hearing this. We feel like it's patronizing. And I'm telling you from personal experience. I remember when I was learning in Merkaz Harav, I was very hard on myself. My Chavrusa once said to me, I don't understand you. You should be in the United States, barely keeping mitzvos, pursuing a law degree. And here you are in Eretz Yisrael, learning Torah. You're hard on yourself. Look at what you've done. And I looked at him and I said, like, ha, right, what do you mean? I should be doing so much more. And then when Rav Feinstein came and visited in Israel, so I had the opportunity to talk to him for a few minutes. And one of the questions I asked him, I said, you know, Rebbe, how should I accomplish more learning Torah? I'm not happy with the amount I'm accomplishing. And he looked at me and he said to me something which, again, at my stage, I had a hard time swallowing. He said, you should come to terms with the fact that teaching at Machon Meir is a good thing. You don't have to think that you have to do so many other things. Be happy with what you're doing. And again, I'm saying, you know, at every stage of the game, we like to think that we should be accomplishing more. And that drives us to frustration, and that frustration weakens us from doing what's right. Because we look at what we've done and we say, but I really should have been doing more. And that takes all the wind out of our sails. Says the Chafetz Chaim, why is it that we don't have drive to do more good? Because we allow the Yetzer Hara to blind us. We forget to see the value of the good we do accomplish. Therefore, the advice pertaining to this, take note at our sages' comments about the great value of doing chesed. And then a person clarifies to himself, this is what God wants me to do. That we should accustom ourselves to dealing with our fellow man, to behaving with compassion and kindness. As the verse says, "Lalechet b'chol derachav." We're supposed to go in all of God's ways. And the Sifri explains, "Elo en dachei Hashem yitbarach." What are God's ways? Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun. Hashem is merciful, etc. V'al yedei zeh yasig ha'avan midat chesed. If we think about it that way, we can learn to develop an affinity, a love for this trait of kindness. Uchidichtiv, as the verse says, ve'ahavat chesed, a love of kindness. And I want to add a point we learned in the beginning of the Sefer Amidot. We live a life that's contradictory. We have ideals, we have principles, we have the value system that we've developed, or at least that we can back up logically. And then there's what we might call real life. What are our value systems in the applied science of living? Oh, on a theoretical level, we can say we have such and such values, but what really defines for us what we do? So the answer is, most of what we do is decided by our desire. As the saying goes, we act based on desire, and we justify with logic. So much of what we do, our drive, is defined by our desire. We try to define our actions. We try to guide our actions with logic. So the Chafetz Chaim says, what we have to do is arouse a love of kindness within ourselves. If it's something I cherish, if it's something I value, if it's something I see a purpose in, then I have a drive for it. And that goes back to the first point. So when I do something right, I have to be able to look at it and say, I did good here. That's great. How many times do we go to sleep thinking their Bon Shalom's happy with me? And how many times do we go to sleep thinking, I really should have done something else. I really shouldn't have done this, that, and the other thing. Oh, it could be that we could and should be better people. But we should still be able to focus on the 85 to 90% of good that we do. And if we could do that, that's what Chafetz Chaim says, then we'll have the drive to do more good. We even say it in davening. We say, Ki ve'o panecha natata lanu Hashem Elokeinu. Because in the shining light of your appearance, you've given us Hashem, our God, Torat Chayim ve'ahavat chesed. Part of what the Torah is supposed to implant within a person is a love of kindness. And says the Chafetz Chaim, you want to attain that, you have to be able to see the value of the kindness that we do. And if one can develop a love of kindness, then God too treats a person with kindness in all his dealings in this world and the world to come. And the final paragraph of this chapter, Umikol makom al yitei adam benafsho lomar shebemidat hachesed levad dai. The Chafetz Chaim says, I've gone off on this long piece, the importance of kindness, so then a person shouldn't deceive himself and think that kindness is the only thing that's important. Afilu en bo yirat shamayim klal. I can be a kind person even if I do not have the fear of heaven, God forbid. Lochen adaval, the Chafetz Chaim says, that's not what I meant to say. Ela tzarich sheyelech bedachat Torah v'kabalat on malchut shamayim. We have to go down the path of Torah. We have to accept the yoke of heaven. V'itchazek gamken bedachay chesed, and strengthen ourselves in the acts of the traits of kindness, as the Sifrei says in the conclusion of the Torah in Parshas Ha'azinu. It says, Lu chachmu yaskilu zot. If only they were smart, they'd catch on to this. Ilu nistaklu Yisrael b'divrei Torah lo shalta bem shum ra'a. The Medrash says, if only the Jewish people were focused on Torah, then no harm could take a grip of them. 2,000 missiles would fly in the air and nothing would hit them. Uma amarti lahem. And what did I tell the Jewish people? Kablu alechem on malchut shamayim. Accept the yoke of heaven. V'achiyu zetze b'yirat shamayim. And your decisions between one another should be based on the fear of heaven. V'itnagu zein tze b'gmilut chasadim. And treat one another beyond the call of duty. Be kind to one another. That's what the Medrash says Hashem is looking for us to accomplish in this world. Ve'az ashrei v'tov lo. And then praised is a person, and it will be good for a person in this world and the world to come. And with that, the Chafetz Chaim really concludes his book, the book of Ahavat Chesed. He has a final piece that he calls conclusion, and that piece perhaps we'll do on Sunday.